When she was five, our granddaughter called her brother, her baby brother, my cute little baby. And even now she often warns him, now think about what you're doing, Gordon. It's funny, isn't it, what kids pick up from their parents. And even with all the time that kids spend on their screens, they still pick up much from their parents. And so it is when it comes to faith. Yes, we're surrounded by technology, apps, e-Bibles, Zoom services, but human-to-human contact is still important. We might think that in the global village, in the age of the megachurch, that my little contribution, my church's little contribution, is insignificant, is pointless. But most people still come to faith through person-to-person contact. Often a friend or relative, one person to another. And to grow in faith, we need other fallible humans to help us. Without human help, I doubt that anyone can grow in faith. That is why it's so vital for us to keep meeting together. Yes, it was a challenge during COVID, and it is a challenge still when health limits us. But together we must seek ways of connecting, encouraging one another, challenging, teaching and praying together. Now this contact, this human-to-human communication, is what Paul begins today's passage with. You've heard me teach in front of many reliable witnesses. Now, teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to teach others also. Old man Paul was about to be executed. This was his last prison letter. He's passing on the baton to young Timothy to carry on the teaching, the message of Christ. And Timothy is to do this by passing the baton on to others also. There's a change of baton three times here. Did you notice? Paul to Timothy. You've heard me teach in front of many reliable witnesses. See, the message of Christ was proclaimed in public. The good news is not some Masonic secret, some secret only known to a few within a cult. It's preached to all, for the good news is for everyone. And then the baton was passed from Timothy to other teachers. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people. And finally, the baton goes out from these trustworthy people to teach others also. As it was in Paul's day, so it is in ours. The message is passed on by people. Technology helps, but the normal way is from person to person, from generation to generation. But I hear you say, David, hang on, I'm not a gifted preacher or evangelist. It's not for me. Well, sorry. Maybe at the very least we can point people in the right direction, can't we? You know, I like Philip in the Bible. He was a quiet disciple. You don't hear much of him, do you? He didn't say a lot. But he did point others to Jesus. Come and see, is what he said. Passing on the message of Christ, pointing people to him, it's a job for all Christians. It's why you and I were chosen by him. It's the task we've all been called for. No exceptions. What do I need to pass on the message of Christ? Well, Paul spoke of trustworthy people, able to teach others also. Paul's not talking about clever talk here. Paul said himself, he's not a clever teacher. He could teach because he'd been taught. He could speak because he'd first listened. He could speak of Christ because he knew Christ. So he called on Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Don't rely on your own resources, Timothy. Rely on the grace that is in Christ. because we have nothing in ourselves to offer. No wisdom, no clever theories. We will never persuade anyone into the kingdom through our own efforts. But we were drowning men and women who were thrown a lifetime, a lifeline. And we can tell others to grab hold of it too. Like Philip, we can point others to Christ. Well, as Christ's messengers, what do we need to know? Paul uses four images. Actually, he uses more, but I ran out of space today. So I'll look at four within this chapter. The suffering soldier, the unchained word, the unashamed worker, and the cleansed vessel. So the suffering soldier, verses 3 to 7. Christ's messenger is to share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ. See, Paul presumes that suffering is inevitable for Christ's messenger, just as it is for soldiers. Soldiers must be ready for danger or death. Look at what's happening in Ukraine. Soldiers must also be loyal. They are trained to obey commands not when they feel like it or after their coffee break. No, they're trained to obey commands instantly. A good soldier does not get distracted. Soldiers don't get tied up in civilian activities, for then they cannot please their commanding officer. And we live in an age of distraction, don't we? People pride themselves on multitasking. Not a skill I ever learned. But just think, dating, I don't know what you young folk think of this, but dating must be a disaster these days. You know, just picture it, a young lady all set for a romantic, perfect evening, and then the boyfriend goes and blows it as he's distracted through the night by texts and Twitter messages. Women told me this is not a great start to a romantic relationship. Well, distractions take us away from what is really important, don't they? How much time do you think the average dad spends alone with kids on a weekday in Australia, that is? Would you say in the average weekday he'd spend 10 minutes just focused with his kids? Or 5 minutes? Well, the statistics say it's just 1 minute a day. When was the last time you spent 30 minutes talking to your spouse or child? When did you last spend 30 minutes talking with God? Is your relationship with God a bit empty? Are you spending time with Him? Quality, undistracted time. Well, Paul ends this section with, "Think over what I say, for the Lord will grant you understanding in everything." That is, we are to think. Jesus said, "Love God with all your minds." So use them. I'm not talking about being academic geniuses, but thinking about what is good and right. Because there's a trend in the world today to despise knowledge, to despise science, in the church to despise theology. And Christians, I think, are especially prone to this. Because we tend to often divide spirit and mind and say whatever the spirit tells us is good, but whatever involves thinking and study is unspiritual somehow. But that's not God's way. Think over what I say, says Paul. Use the minds that God has given you, and then the Lord will grant you understanding in everything. Now, true, minds, like anything in creation, can be used for good or evil. But when used well, science and theology can be great blessings. So use the mind that God has given you. Paul's second image, the word unchained. There's a saying, don't shoot the messenger. Well, Paul was the messenger who was in chains for his message. I'm suffering, for the gospel and wearing chains like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Being chained really restricts you, doesn't it? When I was a lad, I loved going to my uncle's farm at Bucklew in the Mallee and riding on his bantam motorbike. One day I came across a chain just lying in the grass in the back paddock, and it looked to be in really good nick too. I reckoned Uncle Joe would be thrilled about that, so I tied it on the back of a carrier and took off. But I hadn't noticed that the other end was tied to an old stump. And that chain, it was in good nick. It worked really well too. It stopped the bike dead in its tracks while young David went flying. Well, yes, chains do restrict us, but the word of God is not chained. Christ's messenger may suffer, but he knows the message will get through, even through his suffering. And the word is under attack today. In France, it is illegal to hold Bible studies in schools and on university campuses. It's against the law. It's a criminal act. In Saudi Arabia, you can be executed for carrying a Bible. Yet God's word is unchained, and his word is being proclaimed even in these countries. Paul's passion was to preach the gospel, and while he had breath, nothing could stop him, not beatings nor prison. He was even thankful for his chains, because the whole palace guard got to hear the gospel, Philippians 1. And it was in prison that Paul wrote a third of the New Testament. Others saw obstacles. Paul saw opportunities, God-given opportunities for the gospel. So what is stopping you, Christian, from serving your Lord well? If old man Paul could serve Christ in a cold prison cell, what is stopping you from serving your Lord? Yes, we may have limitations. We all have limitations. But God's word is unchained. Paul gives his third image. Christ's messenger is to be a worker who is not ashamed. Be a good worker who is not ashamed of their work. One who correctly teaches the word of truth. As the King James puts it, rightly divides the word of truth. A master craftsman knows their work will stand up to any test. We used to live in Bridgewater, and a master craftsman put in the cupboards for us. Not those particle board ones that crumble, but solid timber. You couldn't fault them. He's not here today, so I won't embarrass him, but it was Doug Schultz, actually, who put them in for us, someone who goes to our church now. Well, Christ's messenger is also to be a master craftsman. Of what? Of the word of truth. Be a good worker who correctly teaches the word of truth. Paul contrasts the worker of truth with those who handle words wrongly. Words bring harm in many ways, and we see this through chapter 2. There are those who fight about words, which ruin those who listen. There are stupid, senseless arguments, which only start fights. There's worthless and foolish talk, which spreads like gangrene. Words are important. Words can harm or heal. Words can bring life or death. Foolish talk spreads like gangrene. Gangrene, unless it's cut out, can kill the whole body. So watch your language. Is it leading to life or to death? And then there are false teachers like Hymenaeus and Philetus who are destroying the faith of some. That's what false teachers do. They destroy faith. They're not harmless. They're deadly. These two denied the resurrection. Ever since Paul's day, so-called Christians have denied the resurrection. It's a good question to ask any teacher. Did Christ rise bodily, physically, from the dead? Now, if they cannot give a simple yes or no, then listen no further, because they've swallowed some theory that explains away the miracle of the resurrection. These theories are rife in some theological colleges. But if Christ has not been raised, says Paul, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Ultimately, the source of all false words is Satan. The first lie in history was the serpent questioning God's word. Did God really say? Jesus condemned Satan as the father of lies. And Paul cautioned that some are in the snare of the devil, captured by him to do his will. The master craftsman does not fight, squabble about words. Rather, he or she is a good worker who is not ashamed of their work, one who correctly teaches the word of truth. And finally, Christ's messenger is to be like a cleansed vessel. Paul's using images of sacrifice here. If anyone cleanses himself from anything ignoble, he will be a special vessel, set apart, useful to the master, ready for any good work. Now, I used to love honey. I still do. I was a regular Winnie the Pooh. And we had a beekeeper on our farm who gave us those huge honey tins each year, and I'd scoop out the honey into large jars and eat my way through them, literally, by the spoonful, while I was at uni. But one lot seemed to be off. I thought, that's funny, honey doesn't go off, but it tasted a bit strange. But I was never one to let something free go to loss, so I kept at it. It wasn't until I was cleaning out the last dregs I happened to read the label, and the penny dropped. I'd been eating from a pickled gherkin jar, a jar that hadn't been cleansed. Yuck. But we are to be special vessels, clean vessels. A special vessel set apart is a holy vessel. In the Old Testament, God is often called holy, meaning that God is pure. He's totally good and perfect. But we are impure mortals. How can we come before a holy God? Well, sacrifice for the Jews involves special or holy things, special vessels, innocent animals to deal with Israel's sin. But this system could never solve the problem of sin. Rather, as Hebrews says, the sacrificial system was only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven. It was a pattern of what came in Jesus. Paul uses images of sacrifice here. If anyone cleans himself from anything ignoble, he will be a special vessel, set apart, useful to the master, ready for any good work. Clearly, we cannot purify ourselves, but Christ has already done this for us. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1. By believing in him, we are cleansed, and so we are to live as people who are clean. We are clean now. As Paul urges, shun youthful passions and aim at righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call upon the Lord from a pure heart. Knowing Christ cleansed me should propel me to live a clean life worthy of him. Yes, I will fall again and again, but I just need to get up and keep striving. But notice why I strive. I strive not so that I can be forgiven. No, I strive because I am forgiven. Just one word to finish off. We'll pull all this together. Paul has spoken both of the need for truth and for pure hearts, for being cleansed from anything ignoble, as well as a workman who correctly teaches the word of truth. And we often separate these as Christians. We separate words and actions. So we say, he's a good man, but doesn't believe. On the flip side, He might be a fine preacher, but he's sleeping with his secretary. So we separate words and actions. But in the Bible, keeping right thinking and right actions, they are two sides of one coin. So keep a close watch on your life and teaching. And on the other hand, Paul's aim is that people will both repent and come to know the truth. It's about life and truth coming together. And this is important because the church is tipping into a chasm of heresy over gender identity. The church, not just the world. Yes, we do need to show the love of Christ to all people, regardless of the labels they use on themselves. And that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that we have church leaders in virtually every denomination who are walking away from the Bible's clear teaching on marriage, from Jesus' teaching on male and female identity as it has been since creation. These leaders are denying this teaching both in their life example and in their teaching. If we accept this, as many say, well, let's just get on with it and work together. But if we accept this, what will we throw out next? Bad teaching and bad morals go hand in hand. But as for us, keep a close watch on your life and teaching. So as Christ's messengers, how will we pass on his message, his gospel, to the next generation? Will you be a suffering soldier? Will you be an unashamed worker? Will you be a cleansed vessel? Will you serve a word unchained? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that whatever happens to us, your word of truth remains free and unchained. Give us the faith and courage to speak it boldly and to suffer for it and for you. In your name, Jesus. Amen.